Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the doors were locked where the disciples were for fears of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in their midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. Whose sins you forgive are forgiven them, and whose sins you retain are retained." Thomas, called Didymus, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples said to him, "We have seen the Lord." And he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands and put my finger into the nail marks and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." Now a week later, his disciples were again inside and Thomas was with them. Jesus came, although the doors were locked, and stood in their midst and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands, and bring your hand and put it into my side, and do not be unbelieving, but believe." Thomas answered and said to him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you come to believe because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and have believed." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples that are not written in this book. But these are written that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that through this belief you may have life in his name. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
My Lord and my God. My Lord and my God. Heard in the gospel, that's what Thomas says. My Lord and my God. So we heard in the gospel of John, when Jesus appeared to the disciples the first time, on the night of the first day of the week, that is the day that Jesus was raised from the dead, Thomas wasn't there. All the other disciples were there. They were scared to death. Doors were locked. And all of a sudden, Jesus appears to them. It's Jesus. He says to them, "Peace be with you." He must have said that because they were petrified. They were extremely afraid. Because they didn't know who this was. Was this? Was this a ghost? Did he come to kill us? They had a firm belief in ghosts and spirits at that time in the culture, and they didn't understand this. There's something about Jesus that kept people from recognizing him. Mary Magdalene didn't recognize him outside the tomb. There was something about his glorified state that you could look at him and not know who he was. He's walking along the road to Emmaus this same evening. Two of his disciples, tradition says, one of those was Joseph's brother. Cleopas, he had clearly known Jesus all the time he was growing up. They didn't recognize him. There's something about him. And so Jesus is going to identify himself. And he says, "Look at my hands and my feet. Nail marks. The wounds made on the cross." That's how they know it's him. It's a moment of identification. Who is this person? What happened to Jesus of Nazareth? Standing right here. And here's the proof. Here are the mark of the nails. And if that's not enough, I have a hole in my side.
Almost no one crucified had a hole in their side. They usually broke their legs. But here I am, it's me. Peace be with you. But after all that, now Thomas isn't there. Where is Thomas? He sort of has this reputation of being this weak disciple, weak apostle, doubting Thomas. He's so weak. I like to think that Thomas actually was out doing the grocery shopping. They had to feed these people, so they were so scared they wouldn't come out of this room with all the locked doors. But Thomas, he's brave. He leaves. He leaves the group. Go get groceries. We have to feed these people. Remember that Thomas showed great leadership when Lazarus died. Jesus' disciples are on the other side of the Jordan. That is, they're out of Judea so that the leadership can't arrest them and kill them. And when Jesus hears that Lazarus has died, he says, let's go to Bethany. The disciples say, oh, you can't do that. They just tried to kill you. Just tried to stone you. But it's Thomas who takes the leadership. A strong apostle. He says, no, let's go with him. Let's go with him. Maybe we'll even die with him, but we're going. So through his leadership, the rest of the apostles go. He's not a weak disciple. Very strong. But Thomas is having a similar experience that you would have if someone told you wonderful news, the best news you've ever had, and your response is, oh, that can't be true. I don't believe it. No, it may be true, but at that moment, you don't believe it. Can't believe it. You did that, or that happened to you, or this event occurred. I don't believe it. That's the state that Thomas is in. He doesn't believe it, not because he's weak, because he hasn't experienced it. So then we hear in the gospel, the week later, a whole week has gone by. These people are still locked up in this room. They're still afraid. This time, Thomas is with them. He's not gone doing chores. He's with them, and Jesus appears to him. Jesus says, peace be to you. Peace. Calm down. Don't be afraid. Just settle down. And he calls Thomas to come to him to see the holes in his hands and feet and in his side, because it's the identifying marks of who he is. This proves he is Jesus of Nazareth, although he may not look like him in this vision. It's Jesus. Thomas says, my Lord and my God. Jesus came back for Thomas. He wouldn't let Thomas languish. When all the other disciples saw the risen Jesus, he came back for Thomas. Jesus was like a Marine. He would not leave him behind. He came back for him to bring him into the flock so that he too could experience the resurrected Christ. Jesus was amazingly generous throughout his whole ministry. Generous with them in spite of all their fear, their doubts, and the betrayal and lack of faith. But he was generous with them and gentle and merciful. That's the Jesus that we celebrate today on this Divine Mercy Sunday. We have the image of the Divine Mercy here. At the bottom of the image, it says, Jesus, I trust you. Why does it say that? Because people sometimes don't trust God. They don't trust God. They think that God is a deity they have to manipulate. I'm going to throw 1,000 prayers at you to make you do what I want. I'll send, say, 1,000 rosaries, or I'll say all these prayers to manipulate God into doing what we want. Because we don't trust him. We don't trust him to do the right thing. And so we have this image of the Divine Mercy to remind us that Jesus loves us and cares for us. It's very similar to the image of the Sacred Heart of Jesus, who was promoted in the 1800s. It was a terrible time in France. There was a heresy called Jansenism. And the whole point of that was that you're not saved. You're all going to hell. You're bad people. And so the church supported the devotion of the Sacred Heart of Jesus to remind people of the love of Jesus for them. Jesus isn't going to judge you. Jesus is not going to condemn you. Jesus cares for you and loves you with a good heart. And in this case, calling us to trust him. Don't be distrustful. And so it's that generosity that Thomas experienced with Jesus who came back for him and did not leave him excluded from the group. We too are called to be generous. This would be a wonderful week, the week of the Divine Mercy Sunday, for us to be generous like Jesus. Reach out to someone. Do something for them this week. Give them some money. They need it. Give them something they need. Do something for them. But do it anonymously. Do it anonymously. Don't let them know that what you're doing is you. They're receiving a gift, receiving financial help, they're receiving something or some help from a person they don't know who it is. And that way, they're not all into trying to thank you and hug you and tell you how wonderful you are. The point of this is to show the mercy of God. And so if you do that for somebody anonymously, when they receive it and they feel grateful, they don't know who to send the thank you card to, who they will thank is God. Thank God for whoever gave me this, whoever helped me, I thank you for them. Because the anonymous giver is reflecting the love and mercy of God. And in that way, we are all helped. We're all helped on our journey. Just like in the first reading, Acts of the Apostles, the people were helping one another. These are very early Christians. But their belief in Jesus Christ gave them a common bond. Common bond. These people are dirt poor. With the little that they have, they've sold it, put all their finances together, and lived in community. Because they now had something in common. They weren't broken up by family, by tribes, by towns, by villages. They were united in their belief in Jesus Christ. That gave them common ground. And so they helped each other. They got together. Everybody had something to eat. Everybody had a place to live. Because the little that they had, they pooled in order to reflect the generosity of God. And we are called to do the same.